Chapter 56. 27 Sir Richard Temple, Bart. Of Stowe, a lieutenant general who saw much service in Flanders, was dismissed in 1713 owing to his Whig views, but on the accession of George I, was raised to the peerage, and was created Viscount Cobham in 1718. He died in 1749. Congreve wrote in praise of him, and he was the brave Cobham of Pope's first moral essay. 28 Richard Escart, the actor, died in August 1712, when his abilities on the stage, and as a talker were celebrated by Steele to number 468 of the Spectator. See also Taylor, August 6, 1709 and Spectator, May 5, 1712. Escart was proprietor of the Beef Steak Club, and a few months before his death opened the Bumper Tavern in James Street, Covent Garden. 29 See Letter 5 Note 49. 30 Poor, mean. Elsewhere Swift speaks of the corrector of a hedge press in Little Britain, and Little Hedge Vicar. 31 Thomas Herbert, 8th Earl of Pembroke, was Lord Lieutenant from April 1707 to December 1708. A nobleman of taste and learning, he was, like Swift, very fond of punning, and they had been great friends in Ireland. 32 See Letter 3 Note 11. 33 See Letter 3 Note 18. 34 A small town and fortress in what is now the Pas de Calais. 35 Richard Stuart, third son of the first Lord Mountjoy, see Letter 1 Note 11, was M.P.P. at various times for Castlebar, Strabane, and County Tyrone. He died in 1728. Letter 8. 1 See Letter 3 Note 1. 2 Swift, Esther Johnson, and Mrs. Dingley seem to have begun their financial year on the 1st of November. Swift refers to D's allowance in the journal for April 23, 1713. 3 Samuel Dopping, an Irish friend of Stella's, who was probably related to Anthony Dopping, Bishop of Meath, died 1697, and to his son Anthony, died 1743, who became Bishop of Ossory. 4 See Letter 2 Note 17. 5 The wife of Alderman Stoyt, afterwards Lord Mayor of Dublin. Mrs. Stoyt and her sister Catherine, the Walls, Isaac Manley and his wife, Dean Stern, Esther Johnson and Mrs. Dingley, and Swift, were the principal members of a card club which met at each other's houses for a number of years. 6 See Letter 1 Note 12. 7 His cipher stands for Presto, Stella, and Dingley, as much as to say, it looks like us three quite retired from all the rest of the world. Dean Swift, 8 Steele's ear crew, Mary Scurlock, whom he married as his second wife in 1707, was a lady of property and a bride of beauty. She was somewhat of a prude, and did not hesitate to complain to her husband, in and out of season, of his extravagance and other weaknesses. The other lady to whom Swift alludes is probably the Duchess of Marlborough. 9 See Letter 7 Note 7. 10 Remembers. An Irish expression. 11 This new commission, signed by Narcissus Marsh, Archbishop of Armagh, and William King, was dated October 24, 1710. In this document Swift was begged to take the full management of the business of the first fruits into his hands, the bishops of Ossory and Killala who were to have joined with him in the negotiations having left London before Swift arrived. But before this commission was dispatched the Queen had granted the first fruits, and 20th parts to the Irish clergy. 12 Lady Mountjoy, wife of the second Viscount Mountjoy, see Letter 1, was Anne, youngest daughter of Murrough Boyle, first Viscount Blessington, by his second wife, Anne, daughter of Charles Coote, second Earl of Mountrath. After Lord Mountjoy's death she married John Farquharson, and she died in 1741. 13 Forster suggests that Swift wrote her on her round, and there is every reason to believe that this was the case. No Colonel Proud appears in Dalton's army lists. A Colonel William Froude, apparently third son of Sir Philip Froude, knight, by his third wife, Margaret, daughter of Sir John Ashburnham, was appointed lieutenant colonel in Colonel Farrington's C. Note 18 Regiment of Foot in 1694. He resigned his commission on his appointment to the 1st Lifeguards in 1702, and he was in this latter regiment in 1704. In November and December 1711, Swift wrote of Philip Froude the elder, Colonel William Froude's brother, as an old fool, in monetary difficulties. It is probable that Swift's Colonel Froude, was not Colonel William Froude, but his nephew, Philip Froude, Jr., who was Addison's friend at Oxford, and the author of two tragedies and various poems. Nothing seems known of Philip Froude's connection with the army, but he is certainly called Colonel by Swift, Addison, and Pope. C. Forster Swift, 159. Addison's Works, V. 324. Pope's Works, V. 177 v. 227. Swift wrote to Ambrose Phillips in 1705. Colonel Frond is just as he was, very friendly and grand river a district. He has brought his poems almost to perfection. It will be observed that when Swift met Colonel Rowdy was in company with Addison, as was also the case when he was with Colonel Riend. See Letter 3, Note 25. 14 Charles Davenant, LL. D.D., educated at Balliol College, Oxford, was the eldest son of Sir William Davenant, author of Gundebert. In Parliament he attacked ministerial abuses with great bitterness until, in 1703, he was made secretary to the commissioners appointed to treat for a union with Scotland. To this post was added, in 1705, an inspector generalship of exports and imports, which he retained until his death in 1714. Tom Double, a satire on his change of front, after obtaining his place, was published in 1704. In the note on Mackey's character of Davenant, Swift says, he ruined his estate, which put him under a necessity to comply with the times. Davenant's true picture of a modern Whig, in two parts, appeared in 1701-2. In 1707 he published The True Picture of a Modern Whig Revived, set forth in a third dialogue between Wiglaf and Double, which seems to be the piece mentioned in the text, though Swift speaks of the pamphlet as ably put out. 15 Hugh Chamberlain, the younger, 1664-1728, was a fellow of the College of Physicians and Censor in 1707, 1717, and 1721. Atterbury and the Duchess of Buckingham and Normanby were among his fashionable patients. His father, Hugh Chamberlain, M.D.D., was the author of the Land Bank Scheme of 1693-94. 16 Sir John Holland, see Letter 3, Note 28. 17 Swift may mean either rambling or gambling. 18 Thomas Farrington was appointed colonel of the newly raised 29th Regiment of Foot in 1702. He was a subscriber for a copy of The Tatler on Royal Paper. Aitken, Life of Steele, I. 329-330. 19 In the History of Vanbrugh's House, Swift described everyone as hunting for it up and down the river banks, and unable to find it, until at length they, in the rubbish, spy a thing resembling a goose pie. Sir John Vanbrugh was more successful as a dramatist than as an architect, though his work at Blenheim and elsewhere has many merits. 20 For the successes of the last campaign. 21 John Sheffield, 3rd Earl of Mulgrave, was created Duke of Buckingham and Normanby in 1703, and died in 1721. On Queen Anne's accession he became Lord Privy Seal, and on the return of the Tories to power in 1710 he was Lord Steward, and afterward, June 1710, Lord President of the Council. The Duke was a poet, as well as a soldier and statesman, his best-known work being the Essay on Poetry. He was Dryden's patron, and Pope prepared a collected edition of his works. 22 Lawrence Hyde, created Earl of Rochester in 1682, died in 1711. He was the Hushai of Dryden's Absalom and Achitophel, the friend of David in distress. In 1684 he was made Lord President of the Council, and on the accession of James II, Lord Treasurer. He was, however, dismissed in 1687. Under William III, Rochester was Lord Lieutenant of Ireland, an office he resigned in 1703, and in September 1710 he again became Lord President. His imperious temper always stood in the way of popularity or real success. 23 Sir Thomas Osborne, Charles II, apostrophe's famous minister, was elevated to the peerage in 1673, and afterwards was made successively Earl of Danby, Marquis of Carmarthen, and Duke of Leeds. On November 29, 1710, a few days after this reference to him, the Duke was granted a pension of £3,500 a year out of the post office revenues. He died in July 1712, aged 81, and soon afterwards his grandson married Lord Oxford's daughter. 24 This is, of course, a joke. Swift was never introduced at court. 25 Captain Delaval, see letter 5, note 6. 26 Admiral Sir Charles Wager, 1666 to 1743, served in the West Indies from 1707 to 1709, and gained great wealth from the prizes he took. Under George I, he was controller of the Navy, and in 1733 he became First Lord of the Admiralty, a post which he held until 1742. 27 See letter 7, note 27. 28 See letter 5, note 13. 29 Isaac Bickerstaff's a Lenten sent him a nightcap, finely wrought by a maid of honor to Queen Elizabeth Taylor, number 141. The nightcap was a periwig with a short tie and small round head, and embroidered nightcaps were worn chiefly by members of the graver professions. 30 Taylor, no. 237. 31 Taylor, no. 23-0. 32 Edderning home at night, you'll find the sink strike your offended sense with double stink. Description of a city shower, 11. 5-6. 33 Christchurch Cathedral, Dublin. 34 See letter 1, note 3. 35 See letter 8, note 5. 36 See letter 6, note 4. 37 See letter 1, note 11. 38 The Bellman's accents. Cf. Pepys Diary, Jan. 16, 1659-60. Stayed up till the bellman came by with his bell just under my window as I was writing of this very line, and cried, past one of the clock, and a cold, frosty, windy morning. Apostrophe, letter 9. 1 John Frained, M. D.D. 1675-1728, was a younger brother of the Robert Frained, of Westminster School, mentioned elsewhere in the journal. Educated under Dr. Busby at Westminster, he was in 1694 elected a student of Christ Church, where he made the acquaintance of Atterbury, and supported Boyle against Bentley in the dispute as to the authorship of the Letters of Phalaris. In 1705 he attended the Earl of Peterborough to Spain, and in the following year wrote a defense of that commander account of the Earl of Peterborough's conduct in Spain. A steady Tory, he took a share in the defense of Dr. Sacheverell, and in 1723 when M.P.P. for Launceston, he fell under the suspicion of the government, and was sent to the Tower. On the accession of George II, however, he came into favor with the court, and died physician to the Queen. 2 See letter 8, note 19. 3 St. John was 32 in October 1710. He had been secretary at war 6 years before, resigning with Harley in 1707. Swift repeats this comparison elsewhere. Temple was 46, when he refused a secretaryship of state in 1674. For Sir Henry St. John seems to have continued a gay man to the end of his life. In his youth he was tried and convicted for the murder of Sir William Esquart in a duel, Scott, in 1716 after his son had been attended. He was made Viscount St. John. He died in 1742 aged 90. 5. Whiff delighted to let his pen run into such rhymes as these, which he generally passes off as old proverbs. Scott. Many of the charming scraps of old ballads and LD plays at the head of Scott's own chapters are in reality the result of his own imagination. 6. See letter 3, note 18. 7. Sir Richard Levinch, Bart. Had been Solicitor General for Ireland from 1704 to 1709, and was Attorney General from 1711 to 1714. Afterwards he was Speaker of the Irish House of Commons and Chief Justice of the Common Pleas in Ireland. 8. See Letter 2, Note 18. 9. Thomas Bellasyse, 2nd Viscount Falconbridge, or Falconbridge, died 1700, a nobleman of hereditary loyalty, married, in 1657 the Protector's youngest daughter, Mary Cromwell, who is represented as a lady of high talent and spirit. She died on March 14, 1712. Burnet describes her as a wise and worthy woman, who would have had a better prospect of maintaining her father's post than either of her brothers. 10. Richard Freeman, Chief Baron, was Lord Chancellor of Ireland from 1707 until his death in November 1710. 11. See Letter 7, Note 17. 12. Sir Richard Cox, Bart. 1650-1733, was Lord Chancellor of Ireland from 1703 to 1707. In 1711 he was appointed Chief Justice of the Queen's Bench, but he was removed from office on the death of Queen Anne. His zealous Protestantism sometimes caused his views to be warped, but he was honest and well-principled. 13. Sir Thomas Hanmer, Bart. 1676-1746, succeeded Bromley as Speaker in 1714. In February 1713 Swift said, "He is the most considerable man in the House of Commons." His edition of Shakespeare was published by the University of Oxford in 1743-44. Pope called it pompous, and sneered at Hanmer's superior erudunciate, if. 105. 14. See Letter 5, Note 8. 15. Eliot was keeper of the St. James Coffee House. See Letter 1. 16. Forster suggested that the true reading is writing. If so, it is not necessary to suppose that Lady Gifford was the cause of it. Perhaps it is the word Iger that is corrupt. 17. The Hon. Charles Boyle, 1676-1731, of the Boyle and Bentley controversy, succeeded to the peerage as Lord Orrery in 1703. When he settled in London he became the center of a Christchurch set, a strong adherent of Harley's party, and a member of Swift's club. His son John, 5th Earl of Orrery, published remarks on the life and writings of Jonathan Swift in 1751. 18. William Domville, a landed proprietor in County Dublin, whom Swift called perfectly as fine a gentleman as I know. 19. On May 16, 1711 Swift wrote, "There will be an old to do." The word is found in Elizabethan writers in the sense of more than enough. Cf. Macbeth, I. 3. If a man were porter of Hell Gate, he should have old turning the key. 20. See Letter 3, Note 10. Clements was related to Pratt, the deputy vice-treasurer, and was probably the Robert Clements who became deputy vice-treasurer, and whose grandson Robert was created Earl of Leitrim in 1795. 21. Letter 5, Note 11. 22. Swift's sister Jane, who had married a courier in Bride Street, named Joseph Fenton, a match to which Swift strongly objected. Dean Swift says that Swift never saw his sister again after the marriage. He had offered her £500 if she would show a Roper disdain of Fenton. On her husband's dying bankrupt, however, Swift paid her an annuity until 1738, when she died in the same lodging with Esther Johnson's mother, Mrs. Bridget Moss, at Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.